some of the Defense Department's cyber mission forces are now active in operations. The announcement comes as Congress pushes DOD for a solid cyber policy on how the nation should respond to cyber attacks. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni has more on what this means for the future of cyber warfare.
The Defense Department put out its cyber strategy back in April. It sets out five strategic goals ranging from protecting the homeland to making cyber partnerships with other countries. Also within that strategy, DOD creates 133 cyber mission forces. These forces are the operational arm of the actual strategic goals. The forces are broken up into two main categories, national mission and the combat mission. We now know from the commander that the national mission is conducting real, live missions. Here is the commander of the National Cyber Forces, Major General Paul Nakasone, talking about his forces at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
So our mission is that third mission that General McLaughlin talked about, is to ensure that we're prepared if there are disruptive and destructive attacks against the nation that we can operate. We have been in operations, and while I won't go into the specifics of what we've been doing, we have a teams right now that are not only trained, capable, but have been in use. And so from my perspective, as we take a look at where we're going to operate, we always have to understand the defense of our own networks. We also have to have a capability upon which, you know, when called upon the nation, whether in defensive or offensive effects, the Cyber National Mission Force can generate them.
This is a big deal because we actively have troops defending the United States from enemy cyber attacks, but the cyber mission forces aren't the only ones that are operating in this domain. About a month ago, I reported on the Joint Force Headquarters DoD Information Network, which had been in seven named operations. The headquarters is operated by the Defense Information Systems Agency. Its job is to protect DoD networks. That headquarters was stood up in January.
What do the cyber mission forces look like, Scott?
Well, General Nakasone, he gave a really good description of the troops at his speech there.
Well, the team would look something like this. 80% military, 20% civilian. Average age, about 24 years old. So I bust that average just a bit. The next thing you would see is you would see an incredibly well-trained force. This is a force that has been in training for somewhere between 10 and 27 months, that operates well in terms of on-net operations, that speaks many languages, Java, JavaScript, C++, all those languages that we probably did not learn in our own educational background. But it's also a force that is ready, willing, and able, that has done an incredible amount of training over the past 2 years and works extremely well, as Deputy Assistant Secretary Hughes mentions, in a series of partnerships. And so this is the force that we're building within the Department of Defense today. It's a very, very active force. It's a very, very capable force. But most importantly, it's a very, very professional force.
You can see these are very young, capable people. That flies in the face of what DoD's been fearing, which is losing recruits to the private sector. The director of NSA and Cyber Command, Admiral Mike Rogers, told Congress there is a sense of duty that calls the people to this work, and they could easily make more money in the private sector. What's drawing them in is the excitement. Rogers said if the budget uncertainties continue, he's going to see a lot of people going over to the other side. You know, they're afraid of being furloughed and losing their jobs.
There's a policy conflict going on here between the operational side and the strategic side. What is that difference?
We have these cyber troops out there performing operations, and right now their actions are dictated by singular decisions from the people upstairs. An attack happens, and DoD and other agencies confer, and DoD decides how to respond. Congress wants DoD to be more definitive about this. They want an actual policy. They want a clear document that says, if the U.S. is attacked in this way, this is how we respond. And that serves a couple of purposes. First, other countries will know what happens if they attack us. Right now, it's a gamble. China allegedly performed the OPM attacks, but never saw any public consequences. So lawmakers say a policy will serve as a deterrent against the attack. Here's Senator Angus King making that point in a hearing last month.
But the whole point of being able to respond is deterrence so that the attack won't occur. Dr. Strangelove taught us that if you have a doomsday machine and no one knows about it, it's useless. So having a secret plan as to how we'll respond isn't the point I'm trying to get at. The deal is they have to know how we will respond and therefore not attack in the first place.
Lawmakers also want a policy to serve as a command and control mechanism. All the authorities and legal stuff are already in place to make things possible, but a policy determines the aggressiveness. It's almost like a puppet. The U.S. has the puppet sitting there, but there's no one operating the strings to give it a personality. And that's the job of policy, is to give it a personality. Here's cyber legal expert Harvey Rishikoff of Kroll & Mooring on that point.
Though the threshold question is a legal issue to give authority and legitimization and justification for force, it ultimately will be a policy determination. It's the threshold is going to be a political determination that allows us to use all of the force that we have in our defense under either Article 51 of the United Nations or the traditional notion of self-defense. But that's why the threshold has been complicated, because if we tell this general, this is the hard line, and if there's a violation, you must respond, that puts us in a situation that historically most policymakers don't like to be in. It's all about legitimization of policy. That's why the threshold's been hard.
Congress says that countries are exploiting the ambiguities in the lack of our strategy, but DoD says it's our own cyber strategy is enough of a policy. Congress comes back and they say, no, it's not, and they're pretty mad about it. If you listen to this exchange between Senator John McCain and the Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work, you'll get a sense of what I mean.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as we have said over and over, we believe our cyber deterrence strategy is constantly evolving and getting stronger.
I'm talking about a policy, not a strategy, Mr. Secretary. It required a policy, the fiscal year 14 National Defense Authorization Act.
The policy is still in development. We believe we have a good cyber strategy. The policy has been outlined in broad strokes by the
not
president.
Broad enough, I would think. Does it describe what our whether we deter or whether we respond or whether we, in other words, as far as I know, and the committee knows, that there has been no specific policy articulated in compliance with the requirement to in the Defense Authorization Act. If you believe that it has, I would be very interested in hearing how it has.
I believe the broad strokes are we will respond to...
I'm not asking the broad strokes. Suppose there's an attack, a cyber attack like the one on OPM. Do we have a policy as to what we do?
Yes, we do.
And what is that?
The first is to try. First we deny and then we first find out. We do the forensics.
I'm not asking the methodology. I'm asking the policy. Do you respond by counterattacking? Do you respond by trying to enact other measures? What do we do in case of a cyber attack?
We respond in a time, manner, and place.
Does that
of
mean
choosing?
That we counterattack?
That may be one of the options.
That's not a policy, Secretary Work. That is exercise in options. We have not got a policy in. For you to sit there and tell me that you do, a broad stroke strategy, frankly, is not in compliance with the law.
And the law McCain is talking about there is the 2014 Defense Authorization Act. DoD's overdue on the policy, and it's supposed to deliver that sometime soon, or it's overdue.